Translation from this poem by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivas Acharyagan. Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance days of these two great personalities, Jayadeva Goswami and Lochan Das Thakur. And first we'll speak a little bit about Jayadeva Goswami. So Jayadeva Goswami, so Omagana Tivadanda Shaganan Shana Shlokya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tismai Shigare Namaha. So Jayadeva Goswami appeared during the 1100s. So he appeared far before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And of course, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly read Jayadeva Goswami's literature, the Gita Govinda. It was one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favorite books, as well as the Krishna Karnamrita and other literatures. And so Jayadeva Goswami's father's name was Bhojadev, his mother was Vana Devi, and he appeared in Bengal in Kenu Bilvagram district, and his wife was Padmavati. It's interesting. He's called Jayadeva Goswami in spite of being married. And the title Goswami can be utilized in a variety of ways according to the context. In one context, it may mean someone in the renounced order of life who doesn't have a family. In another context, it may mean someone who has the family title of Goswami, like you see in Vrindavan. There's the Goswami families who are running the temples. And it also may be utilized to indicate someone who is on a very high level of devotional service, who is able to control his senses. Because Goswami means senses master. So someone who is a master of the senses. So in the case of Jayadeva Goswami, that means he was the master of the senses. He was married, but he was perfectly renounced from this material world, and the proof that he was perfectly renounced from the material world was that he was able to elaborate on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in a way that very few other personalities have been able to elaborate on, which indicates he was on the highest platform, the platform of prema. And only on the platform of prema is one completely renounced from the material world, as described by Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, that we all have anarthas. And anartha means unwanted things. And so anarthas, they don't disappear absolutely until one comes to the platform of prema. Even on the platform of bhava, the anarthas are gone, but they're not absolutely gone. In other words, they can still come back if one is not attentive. Witness the case of Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj was in the platform of bhava, which is a, practically speaking, almost prema. But because he was not attentive, he became attached to a little baby deer. And he fell down from his position of devotional service. So in the case of Jayadeva Goswami, he was on the platform of absolute prema, pure devotional service. So in any situation, a pure devotee such as him can act, and he's never connected with the material energy. And also he's always absorbed in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. That's why he was able to elaborate on Radha and Krishna's pastimes. You find in the Goswamis, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, much of their descriptions are of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and that's because they actually were, let's say, internally absorbed in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Those who are not quite on that platform have to be very careful about that, because they can be inclined towards the material energy. Anyway, so his wife's name was Padmavati. He resided in Navadweep on the banks of the Ganges. And he had, his friends are mentioned here, I don't need to mention that. Lord Chaitanya also, as I mentioned before, relished the Krishna Karanamrita, that's from Bhavamangal Thakur, and the books by Vidyapati and Chandidas. So the Gita Govinda describes the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It is a drama, describes union of Radha and Krishna, that means togetherness of Radha and Krishna, and separation of Vipralamba Seva. So there's an interesting story about that book. Once upon a time, Jayadev Goswami was writing this Gita Govinda, and as he was writing the Gita Govinda, he had the realization, the internal realization, in this dramatic performance of Radha and Krishna, that Krishna would bow down and touch the feet of Srimati Radharani. And so this is part of the mana, or the anger of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes Radharani gets very angry at Krishna because Krishna wants her to get angry. And of course, this is one of the indirect rasas, the rasa of anger. And Krishna, in order to pacify her, has to cry, literally cry, beg for her forgiveness. And so this, of course, this is also reflected in this material world where a man becomes controlled by a woman or wife or something like that. He just has to become, you know, controlled by her, bow down and please forgive me, whatever. I'll buy you whatever you want. So so Krishna does that. And Jayadeva Goswami was thinking, is this appropriate? You know, is it actually happening? And so Jayadeva Goswami put down his writing materials. And he thought, well, better take a bath first, take some prasadam, and think about this a little bit more. So he went to the Ganges, took a bath, and while he was taking a bath in the Ganges, Krishna took the form of Jayadeva Goswami and appeared before Padmavati, Jayadeva Goswami's wife, and asked her for prasadam. And so Krishna took prasadam in the guise of Jayadeva Goswami, and after he took prasadam, he sat down at Jayadeva Goswami's writing desk and completed that particular verse, that Krishna bows down at Srimati Radharani's feet. And so then Krishna disappeared, the real Jayadeva Goswami came back, and he asked his wife for prasadam, and his wife said, you already ate. And he thought, boy, my wife has just had some senior moments here. What do you mean I already ate? She said, yes, you already ate, and you sat down at your writing desk, and you wrote few words at the writing desk, you know, on the piece of paper, or on the palm leaf, actually, it wasn't a piece of paper at that time. And so he went to his desk and he saw that this verse had been completed. You know, Krishna bows down at Srimati Radharani's feet. And he went to his wife, bowed down to his wife, and he said, you are so fortunate, you were able to directly feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is, of course, that's a very famous pastime, which Srila Prabhupada actually very much liked that story. He actually told that story too. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur described that even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared later than Jayadeva Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya sort of manifested his presence in the heart of Jayadeva Goswami to allow Jayadeva Goswami to have those particular realizations. Another book that he wrote was called The Chandralok, which also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated. Jayadeva Goswami's deities are named Radha Madhava. And these deities are now worshipped in Jayapur. He's considered the incarnation of melody. In other words, poetry and melody. And he was a Sanskrit scholar at a very early age. A little story about his wife, that he went to Jagannath Puri, and he met his wife in Jagannath Puri. Padmavati was very much dedicated to Lord Jagannath, and it was the inspiration that he got from seeing the deity of Lord Jagannath that inspired him to write the Gita Govinda. And while he was in Jagannath Puri, is an interesting story. The king, whose name was Gachapati. Gachapati was as a generic name for the king of Jagannath Puri. Gaja, that means an elephant. Gaja, like Gajendra. You know, you have the story of Gajendra in the Bhagavatam. Gajapati means the controller of many elephants. That's how the king was known. Interesting. Because in those days, mechanism for transportation was either elephants or horses. So that's why you call Hastinapur as a place for, you know, many Hastis, they think. So Gajapati was very envious. This king was very envious of Jayadev. And so, because he was so envious, this Jayadeva Goswami was getting all the appreciation from everybody. He composed his own work called the Gita Govinda, in imitation Gita Govinda. It was called the Abhinava Gita Govinda. And even the king's own, let's say, personal assistants or secretaries ridiculed the king. Can you imagine that? It was such a ridiculous composition. And they compared the king's book to a lamp in relationship to Jayadeva Goswami's son, his Gita Govinda. So this is a metaphor. The king was very determined. He said, look, my Gita Govinda is better. So let's take both of these Gita Govindas and put them in front of the deity at night. You know, when Lord Jagannath takes rest, we'll put both manuscripts there. So in the morning, they found Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda clasped to the deity's chest. It was just like that, clasped to his chest. And the king's Gita Govinda was scattered all over the floor. Just get rid of this stupid thing. It's nice. So Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda was spread all over India. It's actually sung in every major temple and court in India. And by the 15th century, his Gita Govinda was distributed all over India and illustrated in the local art, Gujarat, Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Punjab, etc. And there's a 1590, that's AD edition, on display at the Bombay Museum. Emperor Akbar, who appeared like in the 1500s, you know, the Mughal emperor, who actually liked different religions, and he liked the Hindus, and he liked Krishna consciousness, he was an admirer of Gita Govinda, and he commissioned an illustrated manuscript of the Gita Govinda in the Mughal style. In other words, Mughal means like someone who's a Muslim. So here was a Muslim, and who was very open to other religions, of course. He knew Jiva Goswami and others. And he actually commissioned a work of the Gita Govinda. Later on in life, Jayadev Goswami was the pundit for another king named Lakshmana Sena. This king who offended Jayadev Goswami, the Gajapati, he was so upset with his defeat at the hands of Lord Jagannath that he resigned from being a king. At least he was honest. Nowadays you don't find politicians like that. So the words from the Gita Govinda are inscribed in one of the main gateways, the Jayavijaya gateway in the Jagannath Puri temple. Every night, as I mentioned before, Lord Chaitanya would listen to the Gita Govinda, and Prabhupada said Jayadev should be counted as one of the Mahajanas. Mahajana means great personalities, like Grandfather Bhishma and others. And Prabhupada said the Gita Govinda should only be read by liberated souls. Sorry to disappoint you. And Prabhupada said one should perfectly understand the Bhagavad Gita before he reads the Gita Govinda. In other words, must be liberated. And the reason for that, you know, we sort of touched upon that in the beginning of this whole discussion, is that one has to understand Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan is one of the three aspects of the teaching of the Gita. There's Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means to understand the tattvas. Now, those of you who don't know what that word means, tattva means like essential truths, things that don't, that are eternal, that don't come into existence and don't cease to exist, like the jiva soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy, etc., and the Lord's spiritual energy. So to understand the relationships between these different tattvas, and of course we find in Prabhupada's Pranamandra, Nirvishesha, means one doesn't know the distinctions between these different tattvas. Like Ramayavadi says, I'm God. That's a question of not knowing the distinction between the tattva of Ishvara and the tattva of the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's very important to understand these distinctions. In other words, to understand what is Maya and what is Krishna conscious. And that's why Bhagavad Gita goes into such elaborate descriptions of the material energy. And there's so much about the modes of nature, the material energy. Why is that? So we can understand the distinctions. What is matter and what is spirit? Unfortunately, many sentimental people don't understand those distinctions, and they take something spiritual to be material and something material to be spiritual. I mean, it's a very common thing that people project their understandings to justify their sense gratification. That's a natural thing that occurs in this world. Therefore, one should only read the works of Jayadev Goswami if one is liberated. That's Prabhupada's statement, not my statement. So anyway, Jayadev Goswami, in order to establish the position of Krishna in terms of the other incarnations, or avatars, begins the Gita Govinda with the Dasha Avatar Shloka. That is, you know, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa, Keshavadrita Kurma Shavira, Keshavadrita Rama, Haladara Rupa, Haladara, of course, is Lord Balaram. He describes the 10 incarnations, and then he describes Krishna. So that's the Dasha Avatar. So that's Jayadev Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today, and Lochan Das Thakur, and I'm not going to speak long about Lochan Das Thakur, but Lochan Das Thakur is known for the composition of the Chaitanya Mangal, and most of the description here is of the different chapters in the Chaitanya Mangal. So just briefly, he took birth in a family of brahmanas who lived in Radhadesh, not the Radhadesh in Belgium, but also Radhadesh in Bengal. And he appeared near Katwa in the Vardhaman district of Bengal. And when he was a little boy, he met the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. His guru was Dadahari Sarakat Thakur. And the Chaitanya Mangal Lochan Das Thakur writes, my hope of hopes is to be near the lotus feet of Sri Dadahari Thakur, to serve and worship him with my very life. The cherished desire of the fallen Lochan Das is to be allowed by the grace of Narahari to sing the glories of Sri Gauranga. My Lord is Sri Narahari Thakur, and I am his servant. Bowing and praying before him, I beg him to allow me his service. This is my only aspiration. So he composes literatures in a type of rhyme and rhythmic meter called panchali. So I mean, we don't need to get into that. Finally, I just wanted to read. There's a lot of description about the Chaitanya Mangal. But I just wanted to read one of Prabhupada's favorite poems that it was written by Lochan Das Thakur. And that song, of course, is Parama Karuna Bahudvijana. Now, that means the two lords, the supremely merciful lords, Dvijana, two personalities, four supremely merciful, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. One thing about that song, this song is very interesting in ISKCON history, is that Prabhupada sang that song in two places, more than two places, but two places that I remember. was in Caracas, Venezuela, and in Miami, Florida. And in both places, Prabhupada had the same response or manifestation of his ecstasy. The first was, of course, Caracas, Venezuela. In Caracas, Venezuela, Lord Chaitanya, hopefully they still have deities of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, because the country is a mess right now. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, of course, were on the altar, and Prabhupada looked at them, and he said, this very far away place, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, have come here. And he began to sing this song, Padma Karuna Om Duijana, and he went into trance. And the devotees didn't know what to do, and, you know, famous story, and then the devotees started chanting, and the Prabhupada came out of his trance, and the same thing happened in Miami. Atlanta, I got the wrong place. So the same thing happened in Atlanta, Georgia. The Prabhupada went into trance, and then the devotees chanted, and the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when you go into trance like that? And Prabhupada, in a very humble way, said, I do not do this very often. So this is a sign of a pure devotee. Of course, it's mentioned in the second verse of the Guru Vashtava, which we chant in the morning. Mahaprabho Kirtana Vrichagita Vadikramagyan Manaso, that when the pure devotee hears the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he starts dancing and chanting, and feels a quivering in his body on the ground of spiritual trance, and tears come from his eyes like torrents of rain. Shrutrangabhajo. Anyway. So, we'll read this song, which is one of Prabhupada's favorites. And I'll read Prabhupada's translation and translated purport of the song. Paramakaranopo-dvijanamnita-gora-chandra-sabhavatar-sara-siromani Kevalananda-kand Vajra Vajra Vai, Chaitanya Nitai, Sudrida Vishvashra Kori, Vishya Chariya Se Rasavajya Mukha Polo Hari Hari, Deko Oroi Vai, Tri Bhuvane Nai, Emona Doyala Dat, Pashu Paki Jure, Pashre Vidore, Shudiyar Guna Gat, Gant, sorry. Sam Sadavajya Vahila Pariya, Se Pare Nahiloash, Apana Kuroma, Bunjie Shamana. So, as I mentioned, the song is very dear to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada translates it as follows. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das declares that the two lords, Nittai Gaurachandra, Lord Nittai, and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya introduced a process which is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. But what is the process? If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement and sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hari Hari without any motive of sense gratification. Lochan Das says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Actually, When Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jatakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join, what to speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you were entrapped in the sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." So Lord Chaitanya, Lochan Das Thakur, he lived for actually 95 years on this earth planet. And of course he appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so as far as this prayer and poem by Lochan Das Thakur, it's a very interesting meditation for ourselves while we're chanting our rounds. We can actually consider that, wow, I can't even concentrate my rounds. My mind is going all over the place because I'm entrapped in sense gratification. So what is sense gratification? It doesn't necessarily always mean attachment to enjoying the gross senses. It could be attachment to profit, adoration, distinction. It'd be which is basically thinking you're different, you're better than everybody else, or you want some adulation from other people, or you want to make some profit out of doing what you're doing in Krishna consciousness. You may think like financial profit or dhanam, janam, sundarim, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states. One is interested in wealth or followers or, you know, beautiful men or women or whatever. Or, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one may be even attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. That's what another translation is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the beautiful flowery words of the Vedas. Just like we were just in New Orleans, and someone was doing a fire sacrifice, and they were chanting all these different mantras, and basically they forgot the most important thing, you know, the lecture and the glorification of, well, they ultimately did the glorification of Vaishnavas at the end, and they forgot a lot of different things because the priorities were not there. So sometimes you find people, we're very much interested in chanting a lot. We're not talking about mantras for the Bhagavad Gita, but just a lot of Vedic mantras, Purusha Shukta and everything like that. And they may neglect the essential aspects of Krishna consciousness, which is chanting Hare Krishna and worshiping the Vaishnavas. Namaruchi and Jivadoya. Those are the two most important things, Namaruchi and Jivadoya. So this is also, you know, Nidhanam, Nijanam, Nisundari, also can refer to that according to a translation given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one has to give up his attachment for everything other than pleasing Krishna. One has to be ready to do whatever Krishna wants, regardless of his or her own happiness or distress. Anyway, that's sense gratification. And then the chanting of Hare Krishna becomes supremely attractive to one, and one can't stop. And one prays, like the Goswamis pray, to have millions of tongues and millions of mouths so they can chant the holy names and hear Krishna Katha continually. So maybe we should go on to Bhagavatam. We still got a few more minutes, according to my watch. So we're on text 50, is that right? Does anyone know? I know, I put it up there, but I haven't been here the last few days. Anyway, I assume it's text 50. From the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 52. Text 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Magoni Varshati Asakred Yamanuja Gambira Koyaga Javormi Venila Vayanaka Varta Shatakula Nadi Margam Vidao Sindur Eva Shriaha Patahe Magoni Varshat Jasakridya Munu Ayamanuja
Magoni Varshat Jasakridya
Yamanuja Gambira Toyan Gambira Toyanga Javormi Vainila
Gambira
Yanaka Varta Shatakula Nati
Yanaka Varta Shatakula Nati
Margam Dadao Sindur Ivashriya Patake
Margam Dadao Sindur Ivashriya Patake
Magoni Varshat Yasakrit Yamanuja
Magoni Varshat Yasakrit
Vira Toyaga Sa Javormi Painila
Vira Toyaga Javormi Painila
Vayanaka Varta Shatakula Nadi
Vayanaka Varta Shatakula Nadi
Margam Dada Sindhuri Vashriya Patahe
Margam Dada Sindhuri Vashriya Patahe
Goni Varshat Yasakrit Yamanuja
Goni Varshat Yasakrit
Yamanuja Gambira Toyaga Javormi Benila
Gambira Toyaga Javormi Benila
Vayanaka Varta Shatakula Nati
Vayanaka Varta Shatakula Nati
Margam Dadao Sindhur Ivashriya Patake
Margam
Dadao Sindhur
Ivashriya
Patake. Okay. Anyone? Margoni
Vayanaka
Varta Shatakula Nadi
Margam Dadao Sindhur Ivashriya Patahe
Margam Dadao Sindhur Ivashriya Patahe
Ladies?
Magoni Sakratiya Sukhita Yamunaya
Magoni Varshatya Sakrit Yamunaya
Magoni Varshati.
Magoni Varshati.
Because of Lord Indra's showering rain.
Because of Lord Indra's showering rain.
Asakrit.
Asakrit.
Constantly.
Constantly.
Yama Anuja. The river Yamuna.
River Yamuna.
Who is considered the younger sister of Yamaraj. Gambira Toya Oka.
Gambira Toya Oka.
Of the very deep water.
Of the very deep water.
Java.
By the forest.
For me.
By the waves.
Vilina.
Full of foam.
Vayanaka.
Fierce.
Avarta
Shata.
By the whirling waves.
Akula.
Agitated.
Nadi.
The river.
Margam.
Way.
Vidal.
Gave.
Sindhu
Iva.
Like the ocean.
Jiapatahe.
Unto Lord Ramchandra,
the husband of the goddess Sita. The translation, because of a constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramchandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudeva and allowed him to cross. You can repeat, because the constant rain
sent by the demigod Indra,
River Yamuna was filled with deep water.
The river Yamuna was filled with deep water.
Foaming about with fiercely whirling waves.
Foaming about with fiercely whirling waves.
But as the great Indian Ocean, had formerly given way to Lord Ramachandra,
by allowing him to construct a bridge,
the river Yamuna gave way to
Vasudeva.
And allowed him to cross.
So
there's no purport here. We'll read the next text with its purport. Ananda Vrajam Shaure Rupe Chitatrakantan Upan Vasupta Prasuptan Upalapya Nidriya Sutam Yashoda Shayane Nidayatat Sutam Upadaya Punar Grahanagat. When Vasudeva reached the house of Nanda Maharaja, he saw that all the coward men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yashoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vasudeva knew very well that as soon as the daughter was in the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa would immediately kill her, but to protect his own child, he had to kill the child of his friend. Nanda Maharaj was his friend, but out of deep affection and attachment for his own son, he knowingly did this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's own child at the sacrifice of another's. Furthermore, Vasudeva cannot be accused of callousness since his actions were impelled by the force of Yogamaya. So, Om Ganata Miranda Shah, Ganjana, Shalakaya Chakshud, and Medikam, Yena Tasmai, Shigurveda Maha. Of course, protecting one's own child for the parents is, I guess, the topmost duty, other than Krishna consciousness, of course. So, that's one point we can get from this particular purport. Another point is, of course, it's explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his purports, in his commentary, is that when he brought his son is known as Vasudeva Krishna, when he brought his son to Vrindavan, then he didn't notice, but Yashodamayi actually gave birth to two children. There was a girl and a boy, and the boy was actually Vrindavanandana, Krishna, Vrindavan, Gopal. And so the Vasudeva Krishna brought by Vasudeva, note how I'm pronouncing the word Vasudeva and Vasudeva, merged into Vrajendranandana, Krishna and Vrindavan. Because Vasudeva Krishna is an expansion of Krishna and Vrindavan. As we know, Ete Changsa Kalakpavsa, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Another reason Vasudeva did this is he understood this was the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to save his life so that Kamsa could be killed. So it was all, he understood the Lord's plan at this particular juncture. It's not that he was simply callous, but someone else's child. Okay, all glories to Shilo Prabhupada, Shri Radhika Lokananda.